Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Lessons to the 12.
Come, children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who loves life, who desires the day in order to enjoy good things? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from deceitful words. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their cries. The countenance of the Lord is turned against those who do evil things, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
When Jesus took James, John, and Peter to the mountain where he was transfigured, the 9 other disciples were left in a small village nearby. And a man came to them with his son.
Are you not the followers of Jesus?
Yes, I am Matthew.
My name is Ezra. This is my son.
Why is the boy in chains?
He is possessed by a deaf and dumb demon. I was told that if I brought him to the followers of Jesus, you might say the magic words that would cure him.
What's going on here? Why have you gathered? You there. What are you doing with that boy?
I was just saying, sir, he's possessed. I brought him to these good men, the followers of Jesus, that they might cure him.
So, you're followers of Jesus, are you? Well, where is he?
May I ask who you are?
Just answer my questions. It's enough for you to know I have the authority to ask them.
You are from the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem?
Yes, if you must know. Now, where is this one you call the Master?
He went up the mountain.
What for?
I don't know.
When will he be back?
I expect him any moment.
Well, I can't wait around all day. Now, why haven't you people paid the temple tax?
We've been moving about. We were out of the territory when it was collected.
Well, you're here now, so you can pay up.
Can't you wait until the Master returns? We will speak to him about it.
I just told you I can't. Now, wait. Perhaps he will refuse to pay the tax, since he disregards the other customs.
Please, sir, can't you collect the tax later? I've brought my boy to be cured.
Oh, by all means, bring the boy forward. Well, boy, step forward. What? Don't you want to be cured?
Sir, he is deaf and dumb. Help me. He's strong as an ox when he's like this. There. You be quiet now. There, my son. Now stand quietly. These men are here to help you. They will make you whole again. Now, sir, if you will be so kind.
Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I command thee. Go out of this boy. Out of this boy. And enter him no more.
Well, wonder worker, you'd better try again.
Begone, evil spirit. Leave this boy. I command it.
Get thee gone, evil spirit. They seem not to hear you, fella. Perhaps you didn't speak loud enough.
All the power has gone from me, Philip. Philip, you try.
I'm sorry, I haven't time to see this. I must go. Tell your master we'll look for him at Capernaum, and his temple tax is overdue.
And Philip and Thomas and Simon and all the others tried, but did not succeed in driving the evil spirit from the boy. And they were disheartened at the laughter and taunts of the scribe and the Pharisees. And the crowd looked on and snickered at their discomfort. And none noticed Jesus, who had come down from the mountain and had entered the village.
Master, look at the crowd around Matthew. There's something wrong. James, John, let us hurry.
Here comes the master, with James and Peter and John.
Matthew, what is it?
This man brought his son to us.
What are you arguing about among yourselves?
Master, I have brought to thee my son, who has a dumb spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth. And he is wasting away. And I told thy disciples to cast it out, but they could not.
Matthew, is this true?
Yes, Peter. I tried. Philip tried. All of us. Our power left us, Master. I can't understand what happened.
Oh, unbelieving generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me.
Yes. Yes, Master. Look out. Stand clear of the chains. He's convulsed. Stand aside. It will pass soon. It is always like this when the spirit takes him.
How long is it since this came upon him?
From his infancy. Oftentimes it has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
I do believe, Master, I do believe. Help me, help me.
Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I command thee, go out of him and enter him no more.
He is dead. The spirit has destroyed him. My son. My son. Master, he is not dead. He breathes.
Boy, take my hand. Arise.
See, he lives. He is cured.
Come. Let us leave this place.
But, Master, why could not we cast it out?
Because of your little faith. For amen, I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, remove from here, and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible to you.
Oh, Master, a mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. And yet, we could not cast the evil out of the boy.
But this kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting.
And leaving that place, they were passing through Galilee, and Jesus did not wish anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples.
The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again.
Peter, again, he speaks of betrayal and death and rising on the third day. I don't understand it.
Nor do I, Matthew.
Couldn't you go to him and ask what he means?
No. No, I dare not.
But it saddens all of us to hear him speak like this and to remind us he will not always be with us.
Well, he is but teaching us to be reliant, to have more confidence in ourselves.
But who would even think of putting him to death?
Perhaps this is a parable. Of course he has annoyed the leaders of the temple. But though they would like to question him, I doubt seriously if they would dare harm him.
But we wander about Galilee, avoiding the scribes and the Pharisees. If he were fearful of them, why, Peter?
No, I think you are imagining things.
Oh, Peter, I hope so.
Let me put your mind at rest. Jesus is returning to Capernaum, which is swarming with delegates from Jerusalem.
And they came unto Capernaum, Jesus' own city, where the scribes and the Pharisees had, during his absence, raised questions to spread doubt about him. And they kept saying that Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebub, until many of the people began to believe him. And many of the people turned their backs and walked no more with Jesus.
The feeling things have changed since we were last in Capernaum.
Aye, Matthew. I don't mind that the crowds no longer besiege us. We have more time with the pastor. But I hear them talking among themselves. They say Capernaum would be better off without Jesus. And he is a danger rather than a blessing.
Yes. Now that he's cured every sick man in the place. The man who is well doesn't knock at the physician's door. Well, we must go carefully. And you, Peter, you must try to restrain the master so that he doesn't scandalize the authorities.
Wait, you two.
Who calls?
Greetings. You remember me, don't you?
Yes.
You must recall my mention of the temple tax. It's still unpaid. I'm interested in what your master will say.
The temple tax?
Yes, yes, the temple tax. I'm sure you've heard of it. I can quote it for you if you wish. And this shall everyone give that passeth at the naming a shekel.
Never mind. I know the tax.
Does your master not pay the drachma?
Yes.
He does. I do not have his name recorded in my tablets. Here it is October, and the tax was due in April. But I won't press the matter. If your master refuses to pay the tax, so be it. Good day, Matthew.
Strange you should mention the tax now.
Oh, no. It's an indication of the change in attitude. When Jesus was here in April, he was curing people by the dozens. It would have been miserly of them to ask for this pittance of a tax. And now, well, they don't hesitate. Peter.
Yes?
Perhaps you shouldn't have agreed so quickly that the master would pay the tax.
Oh, I'm sure he'll pay when asked.
Well, would he not have paid at the time if he were concerned about this tax?
Matthew, you disturb me with this. What could I do? Tell him the master would not pay it?
Oh, come. What's done is done. We'd best get back with the provisions.
The bread and the fish and the wine. You should have seen the merchant who tried to sell me stale fish. Me, Peter. How he changed his tune when I told him I was a fisherman. Then he found fresh ones fast enough, and...
Peter.
Yes, Master.
What dost thou think? From whom do the kings of the earth receive tribute or custom? From their own sons, or from others?
From others? Master, you know then about the temple tax.
The sons, then, are exempt.
Yes, Master, I regret. I spoke in haste when I told them you did pay the tax. I did not know...
But that we may not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook. And take the first fish that comes up, and opening its mouth, thou wilt find a stater. Take that, and give it to them for me and for thee.
Yes, Master. I will go at once.
Side of your master instead of amusing yourself here.
No, I've just left the master.
Ah, fine catch, I must say. I suggest you continue fishing and sell your catch and pay the temple tax.
Here, take this stater. It will pay the tax.
Very well. Here is your shekel in change.
No, keep it.
But the stater is worth 2 shekels.
I pay the tax for the master and for myself.
And after paying the tax, Peter returned to Jesus, who took his disciples and left that place on a tour of Galilee. And the master walked alone, and those that followed him discussed among themselves their places in the kingdom of heaven which Jesus had promised.
Do not be despondent. Though we've lost many followers because of the Pharisees, in the end, everything will be all right. His kingdom will be founded, and we will be his faithful servants.
You're very confident, Peter. Is it because the Master gave you such a high position in the kingdom?
There is no question about that. Peter will be first when Jesus establishes his kingdom.
Oh, I don't dispute it. But where do the others fit in? How are the positions to be allotted?
What do you mean, Matthew?
Will men be selected for positions of authority because of special qualifications? Or will they be selected because of seniority?
Oh, I'm sure because of special ability.
In that case, Judas here will outrank you, John, even though he joined us much later than you or Peter or Andrew. He has held higher position than any of us.
And you think what men did before they joined Jesus should determine their rank in the kingdom?
Oh, no. I didn't say that. I merely raised the question.
Now, come. You should not discuss such things.
Well, your position's settled. That's why you don't relish the discussion. But it's something for the rest of us to think about.
Matthew's right. We must think about it. It'll have to be settled sometime.
Well, then perhaps he who has most faith should be selected for the most important position.
And just how is faith measured? And do you suggest that one has less faith than another?
No, no, of course not. Perhaps the ability to preach or to perform miracles.
Oh. Well, in that case, John the Thunderer will be first. But I don't see that the one with the strongest voice is necessarily better qualified than he who can work miracles more frequently.
As you did with the possessed boy?
Well, you were on the mountain with Jesus, so you didn't get a chance to try. You might not have done any better.
Now, come, stop this unseemly discussion. Suppose the Master should overhear you. He'd not like it.
But, Peter, the Master should be thinking of this himself, and you should take this up with him.
You can hardly expect me to bring up the subject.
But if the opportunity presents itself, then will you?
Yes, Matthew. But now let us find the Master.
There was
some discussion.
We were talking among ourselves.
It was just idle talk, Master.
Peter can tell you that.
Master, who thinkest thou is the greater in the kingdom of heaven?
If any man wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.
I don't understand this saying.
And Jesus took a little child and set it in the midst of them, and taking it unto his arms, he said, Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
and with the child before him, Jesus taught his disciples many things which they would remember and understand to the fullest only after he was with them no more.
Come, children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who loves life, who desires the day in order to enjoy good things? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from deceitful words. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their cries. The countenance of the Lord is turned against those who do evil things, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.